Reformed Church.
Just something that was really something I was meditating on recently, and it's something I wanted to share. Romans 4:6, I believe it is, because this is what I was reading. It's where David speaks about the blessedness of a man that is to whom God imputes righteousness without works. And you know, it's such a simple concept, but man, it has just been so good for me recently. People will typically say that righteousness is right standing with God, but it's so much more than that. Because when you say right standing with God, that just sounds like a perception of God of you. But righteousness in the New Testament, there's more to it even than this, but righteousness is actually, if people define, or if you want to define the word righteousness, just take the eosness off the end, right. The word right is how you define righteousness. It's used in a variety of contexts, but when we're talking about how God has made us right as a gift or righteous as a gift, it means actually that God has made you right. And that means that inside of you, God has made you the way that He wants you to be already. He's actually created you already the way that you should be, that you couldn't actually be better. And that's what actually what righteousness means. When you say right standing before God, that doesn't carry that same weight. Right standing, again, is like God perceives you as right legally or something. Much more than that. For a new covenant believer, I'm talking about that you actually have all the generosity and the love and the good attributes and the forgiveness and every good quality about God. He's made you right. He's made you already who you're supposed to be. In the old covenant, it required this of you, but in the New Testament, God gives this to you as a gift. And to think what a great gift that God has given you, the gift of being who you should be already. He measured you up already to who you should be. And to know that you can pray before God today as a New Testament believer, and inside of you, I'm who I should be already. And you say, well, I do a lot of things wrong. And I'm sure you do. I do things wrong too. But you see, there's a few points I can make with this. But on one hand, I'm talking about inside of you right now, you actually, let's say you do something unloving. Well, you actually already have the love necessary for that situation. So you actually already are a loving person inside. You just may not have expressed that on the outside or manifested that on the outside. Or as Romans 12:2 says, you may not have proven what is good and pleasing and acceptable, good, acceptable, and perfect. You may not have proved that or given evidence of it from the inside to the outside yet, but you have already been given what's good and pleasing and perfect on the inside of you. And so God has made you who you need to be. And you know what's really awesome? Just one thing I wanted to share with you is that all of this is without your works. This didn't come from your works. You are not who you need to be today. Listen, think about those words. Jesus made you who you need to be today. That, I'm not saying all your works are right. I'm not saying everything you do is right. But God gave you the gift of being right because you are who you need to be through Jesus. And this righteousness did not come through your works. It didn't come because you got your life together. It didn't come because of something that you did or something that you thought, but it came because of Jesus. So because it didn't come from your works, your righteousness, if you kind of imagine like two separate rooms or two separate arenas here, and your righteousness is completely separate from your works. What goes on here in the realm of your works never touches, never comes in contact with your righteousness, because your righteousness is not correlated with your works. It came from Jesus, not from your works. So they are two separate things that never come in contact with each other. When I do something wrong, that does not come in contact with my righteousness, because I have been made right through Jesus. You could say that my righteousness is sort of downstream from the work of Jesus. It flows from the work of Jesus. It's not downstream from my actions or my thoughts, or even as a born-again believer, how much time I spent with the Lord yesterday, or did I read my Bible or did I not? Now, we read our Bible and we spend time with the Lord because we need to know this, or else we won't live in God's fullness. But the thing is, it's not downstream from any of these things. My works, my actions, even the day-to-day as a believer, you have to be a believer to believe on Jesus, but in order to be righteous. But again, even when it comes to, did I react? Because sometimes when we know obedience of faith, sometimes we actually get down on ourselves about, I reacted to that circumstance in fear, and I know I shouldn't have reacted. That was unbelieving of me. Or I didn't spend the amount of time I wanted to spend with the Lord. Or, you know, sometimes it's not, you know, stealing, killing, and all that. Sometimes it's just these kind of faith things. But you know what? nothing that you do or think once you are a believer comes in contact with your righteousness. It's in a completely separate area from your works. Your works don't touch this because your righteousness didn't come from your works. Paul says, and I'll just stop with this, Philippians chapter 3, Paul says, not having a righteousness of my own, which is from the law, but the righteousness which is the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ. That means that your righteousness came from Jesus, the righteousness of God, and it says it's not your own righteousness from the law or from your works. So I just wanted to encourage you with that, that, you know, it's just that concept of, man, I'm who I'm supposed to be as a gift today, and my works don't have anything to do with it. You know, a Christian could live like a saint, and that doesn't affect their righteousness. A Christian could live like the devil, and it doesn't affect their righteousness. I'm not advocating for it. I'm just telling you that they are completely separate things. This comes from Jesus. Righteousness comes from Jesus. And your works do not affect it. Do not make it sway day to day. Even the amount of time that you spent meditating, or the amount of time you spent praying, or the amount of time you come to church as a believer, don't affect this. We do those things as far as reading our Bible and coming to church because we need to know these things, or else we won't live in these things and get the results. But I just want to encourage you with that today because it's just so important to understand that righteousness is without works, as Romans 4:6 says. It's without works. It's in a completely separate area. So every single day, you know, it's like nothing can get you down when you already know, Lord, I'm already, you know, who I'm supposed to be. And there's a lot of great results that come from that. But anyway, I just wanted to share that with you. Cool. All right. How do you feel right now about me giving a word? Yeah? Okay. Pastor Zane and Miss Kim, I'm very grateful. Pastor Zane and Miss Kim, they give me a lot of liberties. It's very... I appreciate that because a lot of people would not give those liberties, so that's a very cool thing. I know I want Pastor Jose to get up here because we all got gypped last week because we service was canceled. So, but I'm trying to just flow with the Lord here. So, all right, let's just close our eyes real quick, and then I will. And I'm saying close your eyes, but you're always welcome to look up here. Thank you so much, Jesus. Thank you so much, Father. Thank you for your word, Lord. Thank you for the principles of Scripture, Lord, but all the principles of Scripture are to teach us Jesus and to point to Jesus. They are not just merely principles, Lord. They're to teach us Jesus, not to teach us what to do for you, but to teach us what Jesus did for us. Thank you. All the whole of Scripture is not meant to be an instruction manual for life on how to live. The Bible is not an instruction manual on how to live. The Bible is an instruction manual on how Jesus gave his life for you and, of course, how that affects your life. Thank you, Jesus, so much for Scripture, for the testimony of Scripture, that it is from Genesis to Revelation completely about what you did for us, Jesus. There's no part of that that teaches us what we need to do for you. Thank you so much, Jesus. Not a single part of Scripture, not a single portion of Scripture is written for any other purpose. Thank you so much, Lord. Amen. Thank you so much, God. Thank you for the witness that we have on the inside of us, Lord, that's able to speak through us and able to speak words of fire through us, Lord, to manifest your words through us, Lord, so that we can speak boldly, Lord, and without fear in front of people, Lord, that may be even in higher positions than us physically. But I thank you, Lord, that you give us words of fire to be able to speak to people, and it will burn the hearers up. Thank you so much, Lord, for that. And it will consume the hearer. Thank you so much, Lord, for your words of fire that are able to be spoken through our mouth to consume those that hear it. Thank you so much, Jesus, for the salvation you've put on the inside of us that can be worked out to save, Lord, people from sickness, to save people from calamity, to save this earth, Lord, from tribulation. Thank you so much, Father, for the fire we speak and for, Lord, the salvation that we bring out of us. Thank you so much, Lord, for the glorious gospel of Jesus that we can speak to people. I thank you so much for the salvation also, Lord, that we're able to work out of us to share with others. Thank you so much, Lord. Thank you for the glorious gospel of Jesus. And it is glorious, Lord. It's more glorious than we realize. Thank you so much, Lord. It has life-altering impacts in our life, Lord, if we would hear it. Thank you so much, Jesus, for that. Life-altering impacts, if we would hear it, and if we would continue to hear it and believe it. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for the necessary things, Lord, the necessary things, Lord, that we need to go through before we get, Lord, ultimately to the goal that you have for us. You bring us through a process, Lord, of maturity before we get to the goal that you have for us. But Father, I pray for our endurance and continuance in that process of maturity, Lord, so that we can get to where you're calling us. Thank you, Jesus, for that maturity process, Lord, that is being undergone, Lord, in so many people's minds. Father, I pray that we'd continue in that maturity process unto that full assurance so that we can see where you're leading us. Thank you so much, Lord. And you will see the glory of God in your life if you do not faint, if you don't lose heart in this process. Thank you so much, Jesus. Thank you for the miracles that you have for us. Thank you that you have ordained that would happen, Lord, but will only happen if we continue in that maturity process. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. If you're asking how long before these things come to pass, you're in the wrong role. It's God's role to be the doer of these things. It's your role to believe it. You're asking the wrong question. When you're asking how long, you're asking about the circumstance, and let God be in charge of the circumstance and you be in charge of hearing him and believing him. Sit back into your role, take your role, and just start believing him. It's not going to come any faster apart from you just believing him. So stop asking how long and just believe him. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Don't take the Lord's role away from him. He wants to be the one to bring it to pass, and it's your role to believe him. Thank you, Lord, and to continue and mature in that. Amen. Thank you, Jesus, for that. We love you, Lord. Amen. All right. Thank you so much, Jesus. All right. Thank you, Jesus. And just before I go, thank you so much, Jesus. Thank you. The Holy Spirit right now is just coming upon Pastor Jose in a different way. Separate him, Father, for the work you have for him, Lord. Your Spirit's coming upon him in a new way. Thank you, Father, your miracles and your preaching, Lord, and your work, Lord, is coming on him in a different way that he hasn't seen before. Thank you so much, Father. Thank you for those things. Separate him, Father, to a new work that you're doing through him, for a new era, Lord, for a new time in his life. Thank you so much, Jesus. Thank you for the hope that he has, Lord, in full expectancy like we all do. But there's a new thing coming on Pastor Jose. Thank you for the work you've called him to do. Amen. All right, we're wrapped up there. Thank you, Jesus. Love you, Jesus. All right. Can we just give the Lord a clap? That's awesome. Thank you so much, Lord, for all the expectancy. We have all awesome things to expect from God. You always have a positive expectancy if you'll keep believing the Lord. You should look at your future and say, wow, all the things God has for me, but I'm not going to lose heart, and I'm going to continue to believe him. Stop asking how long. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter how long. And let the Lord be in charge of your circumstance. Let him be the overseer of your house. Let him be the caretaker. And then you sit back. You refrain from that role. When you say how long, it's because you're taking oversight over your own circumstance. Stop with the hands on the circumstance and push the circumstance to the Lord. But he's not going to take care of your circumstance automatically unless you take your role as the believer, as the one who obeys by faith. Right? And when you do your role, God is able to fulfill his role. But stop taking his role. Don't take his role away from him. Let him have his role. Cast that care on the Lord. He cares for you. You don't care for things for him. He cares for life for you. But you have to do your role and humble yourself and just believe the Lord. Okay? But you have an awesome expectancy for your future, and never let that die out. If that dies out, you know your faith is wrong. Something wrong with your faith if your hope ever dies out. If your expectancy for your future, your anticipation, your excitement for the future dies out, you know your sight of Jesus is always wrong. Get the sight of Jesus right, and it brightens up your future all of a sudden in your eyes again. And that's where God wants every single one of you. Okay?
We hope you enjoyed this message from Reformed Church. If you have, please share this with someone else and help us get this uncommon truth out to the world. If you'd like to support this good news, you can do so at reformchurch.com/give. Also on our website, you can take advantage of our free messages, articles, and even full discipleship courses. Start reforming your mind now at reformchurch.com.